I like that song because it's got my name written all over it. I was once a sinner, but Jesus lifted me. I was once lost, but Jesus lifted me. I was once alienated from the commonwealth of God himself, but thanks be to God, he sent the very best of heaven to die on that old rugged cross for me. And I take it very personal, because if you don't take it personal, it won't mean anything to you. In John chapter 3 and round about verse number 16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." And Paul would write these words to the church at Rome and remind God's people that God demonstrated how much he loved mankind, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ had died on the cross. Church, and if that don't motivate you, check your pulse, because you might not be with me this morning. It's good once again to see each and every one of you, your smiling faces. Hope and pray that you will enjoy today's message, and then stick around afterwards as we fellowship with one another. Our text is actually taken out of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul's letter to the church, where Paul reminds God's people of who they are. We are ambassadors for the Most High God. But we're going to deviate, because today is what? Friendship Day. And I have a question for you. Are you a friend or a foe? I hope not, brother. But this morning, I want to encourage your heart. And I want to look at John chapter 15, verses 12 through 16. Where John writes these words that Jesus would say to his disciples. In John chapter 15 and round about verse number 1, he said, "This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." And then Jesus says, "Greater love has no man than this, that a man would lay down his life for his friends." It didn't say friend. For his friends. He goes on to say, "Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servant, for the servant knows not what the will of the master does. But I call you friend, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." Verse 16 is where I want to drop my hat for the next few minutes. Because it's important to understand, as members of the body of Christ, God has chosen us for a particular purpose. Our purpose is to glorify him every single day of our lives. Our purpose is to seek and save the lost every day of our lives. And our purpose is to worship him the way he requires us to worship him. John chapter 4 and round about verse number 24, the Bible says, "God is a spirit, and those that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." John chapter 8, verses 31 and 32, Jesus said to those Jews that believed in him, "If you continue in my word, you are my disciples indeed. You'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free." How many of us sitting here this morning need some freedom? Oh, you don't have to raise your hand, because see, I know that God knows that I know, that you know that I know, that God knows that you know, that somebody sitting here this morning needs some freedom. And you know, and freedom comes when an individual is willing to surrender his will to the will of the Father. In this lesson text here, John would write these words to remind the people of God that you are God's friend as long as you do what he commands you to do. And I'm glad God calls me his friend, because I remember once upon a time I was lost. I can remember my past and how Satan had a foothold on me, but I was enjoying it, didn't have no sense at all that I was doing it out of ignorance. Amen. But the Bible said God so loved me that he gave the very best. And so this morning, to be a friend of Jesus, it really requires something. And first and foremost, it requires one to be obedient to what God requires of him. That's why he said in this text that if you love me, keep my commandments. But in order for you to keep his commandments, guess what? You got to surrender your will. Yes. And I'm learning, until you surrender you, God can't use you. Yes. And I'm learning the more you surrender your will to the will of God, the more God will be there for you. Matthew chapter 16 and round about verse number 24. Jesus said to those disciples that believed in him. That's not the passage. Somebody help me out. Matthew 16. Boy, don't get old. Too late? Okay, I'm sorry. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever desire to save his life will lose his life. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, Jesus says, will find it. And then Jesus raises a question. What does it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? So in order to follow Jesus, first and foremost, you got to surrender your will, and then you must learn to be obedient to what God requires of you. But see, I'm learning to surrender my will and to be obedient to God. I have to first and foremost learn how to be humble. That's our biggest problem in America. Nobody is humble to nobody. I'm only humble to you if it's something in there for me. Amen, Walls. Because I'm learning that when you really humble yourself, God can use you to his glory. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, round about verse 5 and following, cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. And then he says, humble yourself in the sight of God, that he might exhort you in due time, casting all your cares upon him. You see, and I'm learning that when you humble yourself in the sight of God, God can use you to his glory. And guess what? It'll make you a better person. Amen. I'm learning that Jesus was the example of humility. Amen. Hebrews chapter 5. Y'all looking at me funny. Hebrews chapter 5 verses 8 and 9. Although he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Jesus was humble to his father. And Jesus had a saying that I'm trying to duplicate. John chapter 8 and verse number 29. Jesus said, I always do the things that please my father. Can you say that this morning? If not, I just stopped by this morning to help you to say that. This morning I have come but for one purpose, and that's to help each and every one of us see. To be a friend of Jesus, it requires total surrender. It requires obedience, and it requires you to believe that he is who he say he is. It's easy to say I believe in Jesus, isn't it? You know, you say that real easy, don't you? It's easy to say I'm blessed. How many of y'all say that all the time? God, don't raise your hand. But are you truly blessed? Yes. And the reason I ask that question, because Jesus said, the blessed are those that keep his commandments. Okay? See, in order for us to really understand who we are and what God requires of us, it requires us that we believe that Jesus is who he say he is. And I believe it because I know one day he's going to close these eyes. Oh, yes. And I'm not worried. I already told my wife, I like carnations. Don't you preach alone. Don't spend a whole lot of money on me because I'm going to go on to glory. Amen. And I believe that. So I live my life on this time side of life just like I'm ready to go right now. Now, don't misunderstand me. I ain't in no rush. But if he calls me, if he calls me, I'm ready. And you know what I'm ready for to hear? Well done, Stan. Thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Church, it's things like that that motivates me, that drives me, that pushes me to do what I do. See, I believe that Jesus is who he say he is. And I believe that one day he's going to call me from labor to the other side. And I believe that even on this time side of life, nothing or no one can hinder me but me. And I've learned how to get out the way. That's right. Peter would remind us, who is he that can harm you if you be followers of that which is good? But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asks the reason of the hope that is in you. See, I believe that the believer has to really understand what he or she has obeyed. And then we have to really believe that. John chapter 5 and verse number 24. Jesus says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my words and believe on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. I believe that one day I'm going to be on the other side. And I'll get a chance to sing and praise God when nobody else wants to do it. Amen. You see, if you can't do it down here, you don't have to worry about it up there. But that's all we're going to do up there is give God the glory and the honor that's due him. John chapter 6 and round about verse number 40. The Bible says, and this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believe on him may have eternal life. And I will raise him up in the last day. Boy, that's a promise. I've had a lot of promises. Anybody had a lot of promises? Ever broke a couple of them? Yeah, we don't want to go down that road, do we? But see, this promise that I have and that you can have is a promise from God that when death knocks on your door, he's promised that he'll give you eternal life. And church, that's something that we can grab a hold of and help us on this time side of life. John chapter 11, verse number 26. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She said unto him, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of a living God, which has come into the world. The final point is you got to learn that you have been chosen for a reason. You have been saved not because you deserve to be saved. Amen. Genesis chapter 1, God made man in his image. Genesis chapter 2, he made a woman for a man. I don't need to go any further, do I? Well, in case I'd have to, he didn't make woman for woman or man for man. He made woman for the man and man for the woman because man couldn't do it by himself. And God said, I'm going to give you a help meet. Amen. What's her purpose? Is to help me to understand what's going on around me. That's for the sisters in case brothers is acting up, okay? I need you to see with me that God has chosen us for a particular reason. In verse number 16 of our lesson text, the Bible says, ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and have ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and the fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of my Father in my name, he may give it to you. That's some powerful stuff there. So why should the child of God worry about anything? Why do we worry about everything? I think we worry because we don't understand who we really are. In that lesson text here, Paul tells the believer that God has made you an ambassador for him. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9. Peter says, but you are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into a marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Amen. Who is your friend this morning? See, to be a friend of Jesus, it requires each and every one of us to do what Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 5. Paul says, examine yourself whether or not you be in the faith. Mm-hmm. Paul said, prove to yourself that you're in it unless you become disqualified. I want to encourage each and every one of us within the sound of my voice this morning. Jesus is looking for some friends, but he will not force you. Amen. He will not make you. He will not do anything other than accept you coming to him willingly. Amen. And I'm learning that when you come to Jesus willingly, and I don't know about you, I'm a child of the Most High God, and I expect my Father to take care of me. Amen. Some of y'all looking at me funny. Why have the Father that owns everything and you suffer? You don't understand who you have. Because, see, when you understand who holds the world in the hollow of his hand, church, life takes on a whole new meaning. This morning, we're talking about friendship. And Jesus said to really be his friend, you have to learn to keep his commandments. And what is his commandments? Is that we love God with all of our heart, soul, and mind, and love our neighbor as ourselves, and to keep ourselves unspotted from the world. When we talk about friends, and I don't know about you, I'm getting to the point to where every time I open up the Word of God, God reveals even that much more that I thought I knew that I didn't know. That's one thing about the Word of God. See, to be a friend of God, It requires faithfulness. That's right. It requires each and every one of us to understand what faithfulness is. See, faithfulness is played out in our everyday life. That's right. I'm learning the more I live my life for Jesus, the more faithful I can be to him. So it's played out in my everyday life. And guess what that does? It makes me reverence God. That's right. I'm learning to reverence God in everything I do. Do I do it all right? No. But I understand what's right. And so therefore, when I mess up, I fess up, I get up and do what God requires of me. See, reverence to God. And why do we need reverence to God? Because he's the I am. Amen. That's right. He is the beginning and the end of all of mankind. And the more we understand that he is the I am, and why is he the I am? Because he has eternal salvation. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That's why I do what I do, because I know one day he's going to call me. And I want to hear the words, well done, thou good and faithful servant. See, eternal salvation, you know what that does? Nothing, nothing can stop you. Turn and look at your neighbor and say, nothing can stop me. Well, you got to say it like you mean it. Nothing can stop you but you. And church, and I'm learning, it's a mindset. It's an attitude. My Christianity is not based upon something that I just read in the book. My Christianity is based upon he is the Son of God and he came to save me. And because of that, I have a relationship to God. You can't stop me. You can't slow me down. You can throw all the stumbling blocks you want in the way. But Jesus said it's best that a millstone is tied around your neck and you dropped into the ocean than to mess with me. Well, that's some powerful stuff. Amen. And see, so nothing can stop the believer. And you know something? Not even death can stop us. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, around about verse number 51 and following, Paul says, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but shall be changed in a moment, in the twink of an eye. We shall take off this corruptible body and put on incorruptible body. Then shall be brought to pass the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. O grave, where's your victory? See, even in the grave, we're successful. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God that gives us the victory through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, be unmovable. Why? Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You think I do this because I have nothing better to do? Huh? You think I do this because you'll give me a couple dollars? No, you ain't got enough money for me to do this. I do this because I know one day I'm going to leave here. I already know that. And I want to live here in the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, not even death can stop the believer, because the believer understands Jesus has called him a friend and a servant for the King. By some powerful stuff. And I don't know about you, the more I stop and think about who Jesus really is, and the more I stop and think about he calls me, an old wretched sinner that I used to be his friend. And in conclusion, Jesus is looking for some friends this morning. Amen. The question is, will you be a friend or a foe? Yes. Because to be a foe means that you have not the power of God that operates in your everyday life. But to be a friend, that means that the grace of God is on you 24/7. Yes. Now, whether we accept it, that's a different story. Let me show you what I have in my friend. See, when times get difficult, anybody have any difficulty in their time? Oh, yeah, when time gets rough to where you don't know which way you're going. Anybody have that problem? Oh, y'all don't have that problem with. Y'all see me afterwards because I won't talk to you. But I want to show you that when I go through some difficulty, when Sister Harmon don't understand, and when my brothers don't understand, I have a friend that understands everything about me. So when I have difficulty, Matthew chapter 11 and round about verse number 28, Jesus says, come unto me, all that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But see, in order to get the rest that Jesus had to offer, you have to do something. He says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's right. That's what my friend does for me. That in the midst of trials and tribulations, when no one understands me, I can call Abba Father. Yes. And he hears me. Yes. And everything that he needs me to do, I'm able to do because I have the power. See, when I went in that watery grave and I came up, I left the old stand in there and a new stand came into existence. That new stand has something that God gave me. He gave me the Holy Spirit. That Holy Spirit that he gave me guides me, directs me. And you know, when I mess up, I don't need nobody to tell me anything, because that Spirit he gave me tells me when I've fallen short of the glory of God. But this morning, I want to encourage somebody. If you're having trials and tribulations, the opportunity is yours. Come to Jesus. And if you don't know what to do, Jesus will help you to do whatever you need to do. See, the friend that I'm talking about is a friend that when you leave me, amen, Walls. I got a friend that said, I'll never leave you, nor would I forsake you. He said, I'll be there. When Sister Harmon no longer wants me because my teeth are falling out and my hair has gotten bald. Yo, no, I got a Jesus that says, come stand. I will never leave you, nor would I forsake you. But stand, there's some things you got to do. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, he says, let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he has said, I'll never leave you, nor will I forsake you. And then Paul said, then the Hebrew writer says, so with boldness, we can stand before the throne of God because we've done what God requires of each and every one of us. Not only will he not forsake me, you know, he got a place prepared for me. I got a place in Hesperia, but I got a better place than Hesperia. Amen. Somebody know what I'm talking about. Rest of y'all going on back to sleep. I'm about through. But I got a place that no one can mess with. I don't have a mortgage up there. That's right. I don't have to worry about the light bill, the gas bill, the water bill. I don't have to worry about somebody coming and taking it from me. The only person that can take it from me is me. And I've learned to get out the way. Jesus has a place prepared. John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Jesus says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it was not so, I never told you. I go and prepare a place for you. And I don't know about you. That's why I live the way I live down here. That's why I try to do my best every single day. Because I want to make sure that my name is written on the door in the mansion, not made with hands. And see, but that's a mindset. That is something that the believer has to rise to in his everyday life. And I'm learning, without the mind of Christ, you'll never, ever make it. Yeah. Amen. Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, coming in the likeness of a man. He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even death on the cross. Wherefore God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. What am I trying to say? You bow now, or you will bow when he comes. I want to encourage each and every one of us. Jesus has a place prepared. And the Jesus that I serve is a Jesus that calls me his friend. He doesn't call me servant, because a servant does not know his master's will. I know the will of the Father. The will of God is that all men be saved and come into the knowledge of him. Luke chapter 19 and verse number 10, the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost. James chapter 1 verses 25 and 20 through 27, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their afflictions and to keep himself unspotted from the world. How do you stay unspotted from a spotted world? Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It'll teach you, it'll admonish you. How do you stay unspotted from the world? John chapter 16, verse number 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, it'll guide you. See, God gave us something to help us on this time side of life. That's why you don't have to be miserable. It's a choice. That's what the text is talking about. You didn't choose God. He chose you before the foundation of the world. those of us who are members of the body of Christ, I want to encourage you. I want to remind you that you have made a commitment to God. And that commitment is that you are willing to do whatever he commands you to do. You didn't say that. You didn't read the fine print. I want to encourage us as members of the body of Christ, as this year continues to unfold, keep your mind focused. Stay rooted and grounded in the truth. And in the midst of everything that goes on in your everyday life, I encourage you to cast all of your cares upon him. Why? Because he cares for us. He wants us to be sober. He wants us to be vigilant. Why? Because our adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan has a purpose. That purpose is you. To pull you from your steadfastness. But God that loves us wants us to remain steadfast no matter what transpires. And so to the believer, to the body of Christ, no one or nothing can stop you but yourself. And the more we fellowship and enjoy one another in Christian love, Satan has to take a hike. You know why? Because he got to catch us at our weakest moment. But as long as we are edifying and building one another up, he does not stand a chance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and round about verse number 7, Paul says, for we have this treasure in earthen vessels. He's talking about you and I. We're treasure. You didn't know that? You didn't know you were rich? Oh, well, I just stopped by to tell you this morning that you are. You have something that the world can have, but the world may not choose to have. We have all the riches that God can give on this time side of life. One thing else that my friend does for me, in the book of Proverbs, he says, when my ways please God's way, he'll make even my enemies be at peace. Yes. He says, when my ways please his ways, he'll even give me the desires of my heart. Boy, I don't know who you serve, but I serve a God that says if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The world belongs to me. And if it belongs to God and he calls me his child, what do I lack? Absolutely nothing. Those of you that are visiting this morning want you to know that Jesus wants you to be his friend. You come this morning because someone has invited you to see the power that God has to offer. And I want to encourage each and every one of you that come this morning. You've heard the word of God this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. The question is, do you believe what I said? John chapter 20 and round about verse number 30. The Bible says many other signs were done in the presence of his disciples. Thank you, brother. Are not written in the book. But these are written that you might believe, and in believing you might have eternal life. The Bible says one must learn to repent of one's sins. Luke 13:3, 13:5. Tell you nay, except you repent, you'll perish. Then the Bible says you must confess that he is the Son of a living God. Matthew 10:32 and 33. Jesus says, confess me before men and I'll confess you before my Father. But deny me before men. And Jesus says, I'll deny you before my Father. And that brings us unto salvation. We are not saved until we go into the watery grave of baptism. Romans chapter 6 verses 1 through 6. It's a burial. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 21. There's an antitype that saves us now, namely baptism. Not the washing of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27. We're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. But as many of us that are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And then he adds you to the body, which is the church. Colossians chapter 1, verses 18. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 22. How many of y'all want a friend like Jesus? Amen. How many of y'all have a friend like Jesus? Amen. I want to encourage you and remind you, you have no better friend than Jesus. Hope I've said something this morning just to encourage your heart as we talk about friendship. And you know, Solomon said, Proverbs, I believe, chapter 18 and round about verse number 24. To be a friend, one must show himself friendly. That's pretty interesting, isn't it? And so I hope and pray that I've said something to encourage your heart. Whatever your needs might be, if you need prayer, you're in a good place to get somebody to pray for you. Yeah. If you need someone to come and sit and hold your hand, we can do that too. You're in the right place because you're in the company of God's people. And it's all about making heaven our home and being friends on this time side of life. If you're here this morning, whatever your need might be, let it be known. Together we stand and sing our song of encouragement.